Well, good evening, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Saviour. The 21st century is the tail end of the last days. The last days began when the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time. That's what the book of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And in these last days, with the advancement of technology, it is so easy to believe in another gospel that is not the gospel of the Bible. And that results in a lot of people who call themselves Christians. And these professing Christians come from many different denominations. And perhaps that's the reason why in the New Testament, God has given to us so many evidences of a person who is truly born again. Why is it that in the Old Testament, from the time of the formation of the nation of Israel, there are very, very few instances where we can truly study and say that this is a passage that teaches us the assurance of salvation? In the Old Testament, it was a national witness that Israel, that the Bible reveals to us, is the only nation that started based upon God's truth from infancy. The people were people of God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God called them the patriarchs. They were the people of God whom God gave His word, whom God was the one who designed and gave them the nation of Israel. And so when the people of God came into being from the time of Moses and Joshua onwards, who were the believers? They were the people in Israel. They were the ones who had the place of worship. They are the ones who had the priests. They are the ones who had the word of God. It was so easy for them to know whether they are born again or not because it was inside Israel, the nation. But when God replaced the national witness with Gentiles, Gentiles are made up of all nations that began with idolatry. We are from different cultures, different languages. And so it must have been an enormous task from God's perspective to now use us to replace a nation that had one culture, one language, who did not need to have the Word of God translated to their language because the Word of God was given in their language, a language that they all spoke, Hebrew, Aramaic. They understood the Word of God directly. It did not have to come by way of a translation. But now when they rejected Christ, God rejected them and replaced them with us. And we need a translation to understand God's word. We have to discard our culture and only accept that aspect of our culture that does not conflict with God's word. Then only we can practice. And there are so many ways that we can be deceived into believing a wrong gospel, a false gospel. And that's why God has given to us so many, many evidences in the Bible to help us make sure of our salvation, and none clearer than what we have here in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. Because if you are truly born again, God says you are now a person whom I will consider as just, justified, righteous. And these are absolute terms. You cannot be, I am 90% just, 10% unjust. Either you are or you are not. And so therefore, this particular title, the just shall live by faith, is one of the clearest evidences that God has given to us to help us make sure of our salvation. So are you a just person? When God looks at your life, when God looks at you inwardly, when God examines your soul, when God scrutinizes your thought, your heart, that is invisible to the naked eyes. Man cannot see your inside, but God can see. And God says, so-and-so is a just person, and therefore this person is my son, my daughter, in Christ. I know him. He knows me personally and intimately. That's a just person. Now for us, we need to see a just person. And we can only see a just person by the way the person lives, where the person walks, how the person walks,
on earth. And that's why the just shall live by faith. And so God wants us to know whether we ourselves are just, because our heart is very deceitful. Who can know it except God? So how do you know you are born again in Christ? How do you know you have truly, sincerely accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior with all your heart? And it is not something that is a figment of your own imagination, or it is something that someone has told me that I'm a Christian, but in reality, how do I know that I'm a Christian? Because that person who says I'm a Christian, he can't see my heart. He can maybe hear my prayer because he was the one whom God used to lead me with that first prayer that I ever prayed to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior. But have I been really sincere when I made that prayer? Because after the prayer that I made, I realized that I still sin. I realized that I still like to sin, because sin is still very delightful and enjoyable in my life. So how do I know that I am truly a person whom God will consider as just in His sight when I stand before Him right now? Because one day, whether I like it or not, I will stand before Him at the end of my life on earth. And by that time, whether I am or I am not just, my eternal destiny will be fixed forever. And I cannot wait for that day to come before I find out. And so God has given to us enough information from the Bible right now, here and now, when you can still make a difference. Because as long as you're still breathing, as what Jesus told the disciples and us, as recorded in the Gospels, to everyone who is still alive, if you were to believe in me right now while you're still breathing, you will never die. Believest thou this? That's what Jesus said to Martha when Lazarus died. He went there to comfort them, and he met up with Martha, and he had a wonderful and amazing discourse with her. And this was what Jesus said to her and to all of us. While you're still alive, you have to make sure that this statement, the just shall live by faith, is yours to claim personally. Because otherwise, a different revelation will become your experience. So what exactly is the genesis of this salvation, whereby a person will be declared just in the eyes of God? And the genesis of this is found in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, why did Paul say that? When is a person ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? When a person tempers with the word of God. Don't temper with the word of God, please. When the gospel is given to us in its entirety, it must begin with sin, and sin will offend the hearer. And because you do not want to offend the person, and you try to couch it in some sugary coating by not talking about sin, by not talking about the penalty of sin, which is death and hell. And then you tell the person, believe in Jesus Christ and you will go to heaven. You have removed the first part. You have only given the person the last part. Therefore, you have presented to the person an incomplete gospel. And if the person were to believe in Jesus Christ because he wants to go to heaven, that person is most probably not born again unless he comes into a church after salvation, in inverted commas. And then while he's in the church, and then he is given the complete gospel, now he realizes, the reason why I accept Christ as Lord and my Savior, and the only basis where I can enter heaven, is because I accepted Christ as my Lord and my Savior, because He died for my sin, which that person did not tell me. I only found out much later in the course of my attendance in this particular church through Bible studies or through worship. And that means you never really accepted Christ until you realize that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross because we are all in a state of condemnation because we are in transgression. Jesus did not come to die for us in order to condemn us. He came to save us because we are already under condemnation based upon our own sin and because of the sin of our first parent, Adam and Eve. In particular, Adam. Because of his transgression, we were conceived in sin. We were all born in sin. And therefore, after we know the difference between our right hand and our left hand, now we compound our original sin with willful sin. And therefore, we are clothed in sin. We are full of sin. And why would Jesus Christ come down from heaven and to walk among sinful men to condemn us? No reason. We are already condemned. And that's why Jesus Christ came to save. And you and I must know that he came to save us because of our sin. And he alone has the power to break the bondage of sin within our soul, in our life. Nobody else has the power except Christ. And that's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I will tell you everything about the gospel. I'm not going to tamper with it. I'm not going to play with it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to tell it as it is. And it will be because you are a sinner. And if you were to die in your sin, you will end up in hell. And that is the good news. Because if I were to tell you otherwise, I will be lying to you. And I have to tell you the truth, Paul says. But I cannot stop there. I have to tell you about the love of God. And while you're in this stain, in this state of sin and condemnation, you are now an enemy of God. But God loves you, even though you are an enemy of God. And God sent Jesus Christ to die for you. And he alone can save you. And if you reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and that means you will hold on to your sin and until you die in this life, God has to tell you that he is holy. Not only is he loving, he will have to send you to hell. And that's where you will be for eternity. A place of pain, fire, and brimstone. But this is the gospel. Don't be ashamed of it. Why? Because the Bible says it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And that's what faith is. The word believe is the verb, faith is the noun. You want the person to begin the true journey of faith, it must begin with the true, genuine, sincere gospel according to the scriptures. And if the person, the moment he believes in it, the Holy Spirit will take the word of God to bring conviction and conversion, and the person will be soundly, thoroughly born again. And the Bible says it is the power of God that transformed the man who is clothed in sin from inside and outside, covered in filth and sin and wickedness and evil, and now by the power of God is completely transformed from a man who stands before God condemned to a man who now stands before God completely justified for eternity. And therefore, he is now declared just before God. Now, that is the genesis. That is the starting point of everybody's salvation. And I hope it is yours too. Because if it is not, it can begin tonight. It is still not too late as long as you are breathing. Whatever gospel that has been presented to you in the past that you have believed in, if it is not based upon scripture, your salvation is one big question mark. You have to make sure of your salvation, and if you want to make sure of your salvation, you have to begin from the beginning. Your starting point. When you first accepted Christ, what was the gospel that was given to you? If you believe in Jesus Christ based upon what you have heard from the Roman Catholics, that is not the gospel of the Bible. That is an addition to the gospel of the Bible, which is basically salvation by works. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born of the Virgin Mary, died on the cross, rose from the dead on the third day. Not enough. You must also now go to church. You must now keep the Mass. You must now be baptized. You must now take the Eucharist. All these are adding to the gospel, implying that what Jesus Christ did on the cross is incomplete, and now you have to complete it by your good works, albeit these good works are couched in their church's tradition. And some of it is from the Bible, but it is still part of the tradition of the church. And that is not the gospel of the Bible. What Jesus Christ did on the cross when he said those three words, it is finished. He meant it, it is finished. My work on the cross sent by God the Father to die on the cross for the sins of the world, it is done. when Jesus Christ died, it was done. No need to add to it baptism and the Lord's Supper and a host of other so-called Christian activities. It's done. And if that is the gospel you believed in, that is not the gospel of the Bible. And therefore, you are still not justified in the sight of God. If you have believed in the gospel of the charismatics, whereby believing in Christ, you'll be healthy and wealthy, that is also not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even though they may tell you that if you believe in Jesus who died for your sin, and then after you accepted him, you'll be healthy and wealthy, that is also not the gospel of the scriptures. The health and wealth part will come not while you are in this mortal flesh. You will be healthy forever in the glorified body, not in this mortal flesh. And so they will distort the passages of the Bible that talks about the wealth where you are heirs and co-heirs with Christ that is in eternity, in the new heaven and the new earth, not while you are on this same earth, not while you are in this mortal flesh. So there is a little twist to it where they distort the word of God that is not to be applied right now. It's in eternity in the glorified body, then you will live forever. You will be healthy and wealthy forever. And so therefore, it is also another gospel. So much of these floating around today, you have to make sure of your salvation, and God has given to us this wonderful, amazing evidence. The just shall live by faith. Because if you're truly born again, there is the power of God in you that has transformed you that is not of man. You cannot help yourself because this is the work of God inside the truly born-again child of God, where the Holy Spirit will indwell the person. Do you know what happens when you truly, sincerely accept Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior, having been given the proper gospel according to scriptures? The Bible says, when a person is truly born again at that point in time, the Lord Jesus Christ will baptize him with the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit will now indwell the child of God. That person who was once a sinner, now he is a holy person, a child of God. And that indwelling of the Spirit of God will now make him into a spiritual person, and he will remain in this condition forever. It will never be taken away from him. God will never take this away from you, even though you may sin while you serve him on this earth, in this mortal flesh. Please understand this. Now, this has to be qualified. We're not saying that therefore now I can sin whatever I want. You study the rest of the book of Romans, God tells us, God forbid, because the person who is truly born again will hate sin. He will never want to sin. And the moment he sins, he will want to get rid of sin as fast as possible, as quick as possible. That is what it means when a person is described in the Bible as the just shall live by faith. And the Bible says this gospel was first given to the Jews and then also to the Greek. Why? Because the Jews, they were the best candidate to receive the gospel. You see, Jesus Christ must come onto this earth to be man. And he has to be a man like us. He cannot be the man the way he was when he took on the form of a man in Genesis 18 and 19, where we read how the Lord Jesus Christ became a man and went with two angels to meet up with Abraham to eat with him and to tell Abraham to talk to him about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19. That pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, he was still 100% man, whereby he ate. He was able to eat the meal that Abraham cooked for him. But that kind of man is not like us, because that kind of man did not grow from infancy to adulthood. And so for Jesus Christ to die for you and me, he must be a man, flesh and blood, exactly like us. And that's why he was born of the virgin. And then he had to grow up from infancy to adulthood like us. And all this while, please understand that he never surrendered his attribute as God. He was still fully God while he was in Mary's womb. He was still fully God when he was an infant being carried by Mary. He was still fully God when he was growing up as a child with all the attributes that belong only to God in terms of his immutable omnipotence, his immutable omniscient, and his immutable omnipresent. All these were still in Christ from beginning all the days right up to the time when he uttered the words on the cross, "It is finished." He has always remained as God. And the Bible tells us he took on flesh and blood like us so that he can save men and women like us who are made of flesh and blood. And that's what Jesus Christ did, and that's why he came in. God says Jesus Christ cannot just come out of this earth without a nation. He must have a nationality. And so the nation must be designed by God. God did not take a nation that is originated from the idolatry of the world. And so he did not take any Gentile nation. He took a nation that he himself designed, and it was the nation of Israel. And so when Jesus Christ came, the gospel was first given to the people of Israel because they already had the word of God. They already had the truth. They had the prophets. They had the priests. They have everything given to them. And therefore, they had the best opportunity to accept and receive Christ. That's why it was given to the Jews first and then to all of us. It has to begin somewhere. And it began from the Jews. And then when you study the book of Acts, you realize that God sent it into the West, into Europe. When Paul wanted to go East, Paul received a vision. No, you don't go East, you go West. And so it went to the Europeans. And from the Europeans, it went across into Britain. And then God gave Britain the power to conquer nearly half the world. And so now we speak English. And so through the British, the gospel was spread in the English language to all the cities and nations and countries that the British conquered. And that solved a big, big problem in the expansion of the gospel, because how to preach the gospel to people who can't understand the language. And so we need translation. And so God gave us English as the language. And so instead of translating into many hundreds of different languages, we learn English, and so all we need is to just have the English Bible. Of course, there are many more who have not been conquered by the British, and so therefore these other countries who speak different languages will have to be given the Word of God in their own language. So the French, the Spanish, the Chinese, the Korean, the Japanese, and so many more, little by little, step by step. But it's the same. We are now the witnesses of God, and so God knows, because of our different culture, our different language, we don't read the Word of God in the original languages, and therefore we are disadvantaged in that sense. And so God says, "I will give you now a lot of evidences to help you make sure of your salvation so that you can now be my witnesses in confidence, with confidence in your heart." Because he knows, if you're unsure of your salvation, how to serve the Lord. If I'm not even sure I'm born again, how to serve the Lord. And that's why the beginning of salvation God reveals to us is the power of God. It's the power of God. God did not have to tell that to the Jews in the Old Testament time, but we need it. Do you know that salvation is the power of God that will transform you, that you cannot conjure up based upon sure human willpower, and now therefore I will myself to be a Christian? It's not of you. It's not of man. It's always entirely of God. And that's the Genesis. And then verse 17 describes the continuation of salvation. The Genesis of salvation, the power of God. And the continuation of salvation, Paul says, "For therein is the righteousness of God." So when you are just, now the righteousness of God will begin to be revealed in you. And it will be revealed from faith to faith. You begin in faith, you continue in faith, and you will end in faith. That's what it means. You do not stop having faith. You do not stop believing. Now, you and I know what faith is. If you have been coming to the Sunset Gospel Hour from the very beginning of this study, the definition of faith is the object of our belief is God's word. All right? Faith is not in anything that is of this world, even though there are a lot of such kind of faith on earth. When the Bible speaks of faith, it's in God's word. So a person who is just is a person who will live by faith. That means he will live his life according to the scriptures, because the object of his belief, which is faith, is God's truth. So whatever God's word say, I will live it out. I will do it. I will walk by it. I will walk according to it. That's what it means. And in order for you to do that, that means a person who is just, a person who is righteous, who has the righteousness of God in him. And God says it will now be revealed where people will now can see. Your life will be lived according to the Bible. That means you will have an insatiable desire to study the Bible. Because if you don't study the Bible, how to live your life according to the Bible? So do you have an insatiable appetite for God's truth, where there is this hunger and thirst for God's word, that you love to attend Bible studies, you love to open the scriptures, you love to search the scriptures, you love to study and understand the scriptures, and you love to obey everything that you study, and that is the thrill, that is the joy that wells up from within you, that is not of man, it comes from the indwelling of the Spirit of God. That's what it means by the faith, from faith to faith, because it is written, the just shall live by faith. He will continue to live by faith. He will never stop living by faith. He will never stop living by studying and obeying God's word. That's what it means by faith. Now, is this your experience? Is this your inward desire? Because if you are not, there is something wrong and you have to fix it. Either you now truly on your knees before God accept Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior. And if you truly have and you still don't have this thrill and desire, you pray for God to give you this desire because it is serious. It is very serious. It's your salvation because God made it very plain and clear. There is no way you and I could misunderstand this. The just will always live by faith. Doesn't matter what the world will do. No matter how wicked the world is, no matter how God will judge the world, God knows who are His. This phrase, the just shall live by faith, first appears in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And in that book, short minor prophet, Habakkuk was so upset because he prayed and he cried to the Lord. How long, Lord, how long are you going to allow your people in Israel who continue to live a life of sin and idolatry to get away with it? When are you going to punish them? When are you going to judge them? When are you going to do something to stop them? And then God said, yes, I will. In my time, I'm going to send the Babylonians to come and punish them severely, to take them out of the land of promise. But Habakkuk was upset. How can you do that? That is unthinkable because, yes, the people of Judah or Israel, they are terrible, they are wicked and evil and idolatrous, but the Babylonians are worse. How can you use a Gentile foreign nation who are more idolatrous than Judah or Israel at the time, to punish us? That should not be. He could not understand the way of God. And then God explained to him in Habakkuk chapter 2. And then in Habakkuk chapter 3, Habakkuk prayed the prayer, now I understand. And in chapter 2, he was told by the Lord, the just shall live by faith. I know what I'm doing. Even as I punished Judah, the reason why Habakkuk could not accept was this. How can he use the Babylonians who are far more idolatrous and wicked to punish us? What about the righteous people in Judah? What about them? Will they not be punished as well? I know what I'm doing. These people must continue who are the just. They must continue to live by faith. They must trust me. And you know who those people were, right? Daniel, the three friends, and Ezekiel, and many others. Were they not put into exile together with all the unbelieving Jews? Yes. But how did they conduct themselves in the land of bondage in Babylon? They continued to hold on to their faith. Daniel and the three friends determined in their soul never to defile themselves. So whether the external circumstances are pristine or whether it is filled with evil or wickedness or under the judgment of God, you just make sure that you are just and you will continue to live by faith regardless of the external circumstances. Same for us today. You look at our world. Our world are covered with all kinds of evil and wickedness. There are the unbelievers and there are the non-believers. The non-believers have never been heard given the gospel. The unbelievers who are those who have been given the gospel and they don't care for the gospel. And then there are the false Christians. Let's call them the professing Christians. And they are the ones who will continue to present a false image of Christ because they are only professing Christians based upon the distorted gospel that they have received. And then in the midst of all this confusion with the non-believers, the unbelievers, and the professing believers, you have the true believers, and that should be you. You must continue to live a life according to scriptures, because the just will live by faith regardless of the external circumstances. They will not allow the external circumstances to deviate their life from living by faith. They will follow the Bible as the only lamp in a world that is in darkness and sin, no matter what. Even if they have to walk alone, they will walk it because that's who they are. They are now justified in the sight of God, and therefore now they are just in the sight of God. And therefore they will always live by faith, no matter what others may do. Whether they ignore them, whether they have to go it alone, they will still do it because that's who they are. They will continue, and all the days of their life, because they have begun in faith, they will now continue in faith, and they will end in faith, and they will always study God's word and walk by God's word all the days of their lives. Now that is one of the clearest evidences of a person who is truly born again. Now is that your experience? And I pray that it is. Whereby there is an insatiable appetite in your soul for God's truth, and you will love it. And you will never stop studying God's word. And when you study it and understand it, there is a thrill, there is joy inside your soul that will fill you and excite you so much that you can't put the Bible down. You can't wait for the next moment when you can study God's word, because now you have to go to sleep and you're tired. And the next day when you go to work and then you come back, you can't wait for the night time when you can open the scriptures and study the word of God again. There is the thrill in you. Do you have this? And if you don't have this, you pray that God will return this to you and give it back. Some of us have more thrill in the things of the world, in our computer games, in buying a new stuff, in saving our money to buy our new home, and all these things excite us more than the study of God's word. And that is tragic, because the just who loves the Lord, who knows, who have tasted the power of salvation, will not do things like this. Sure, these things may make his body, his carnal flesh happy, but compared to the thrill that is inside his soul, when he delights in God's truth, when he understands God's truth after many, many hours of study, and finally he understands a difficult passage of the Bible, the thrill that fills him is so wonderful that he will just simply cry to the Lord and thank the Lord for this understanding. And he says to the Lord, I want to lift this up. Please help me. That's what it means by the just shall live by faith. Do you have this? Verse 18 is the end of salvation, because at the end of it, please understand, no one will escape. Whether you belong to the just or the unjust, it will be revealed. Now you compare verse 17 and verse 18. You see the similarity in the beginning part of these two verses? Verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. You look at verse 18, for the wrath of God in verse 17 is called the righteousness of God that is revealed, because the word revealed is the same. And in verse 18, it is called the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Against whom? Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So verse 17, the righteousness of God is revealed in the lives of those who are just, because they will live by faith, following my Bible, following my word, God says. You can see that. Verse 18, the wrath of God will one day be revealed. In whom? In those who love ungodliness, the things that are of the world. Ungodliness means they don't care for the things of God. They don't care for the word of God. They don't care for the teaching of God. They don't care for the truth and doctrine of God. They care for the things of the world. And then their lives will be characterized by unrighteousness, versus those in verse 17 whose life is characterized by righteousness, because it's called the righteousness of God is revealed in the just, who will live by faith. And here you have the unrighteousness of the condemned, of the men who are condemned, and they will receive the wrath of God, and the wrath of God continue to be revealed in them. And they will hold the truth in unrighteousness. Even if they are given the truth, they don't care for it, because their life continue to live in sin. And so therefore, if you have the truth, if you come to church and you go to church and you continue to live a life of unrighteousness, then the wrath of God is upon you, is revealed in you, not the righteousness of God. You may call yourself a Christian all you want, but you are not a Christian if God says you are not. Plain and simple. And what is revealed in you by your life of unrighteousness is the wrath of God. And one day, it's all over when you die. Please realize and understand this. The word revealed means uncovered. Something that has been covered, and now you take off the cover. And what will God see?
and God tick off this cover, will we see a life that is lived according to God's word? Or will we see a life that is only covered by unrighteousness and sin when it is uncovered? Lifted up. You know, FEBC had just completed a renovation. And so on the last day of last semester, it was a Friday, we had an open house. And thank God for the people who attended. And so we brought them around to see the newly renovated Bible college. And we thank God for this home where we can continue to teach and defend God's word. The people who did the renovation, and so they have to tear down all those old cabinets and old cupboards that have been there since the beginning of FEBC's birth. 60-year-old cupboards. And so in the girls' dorm, in one of the rooms, I was told, okay, I didn't see this, I was told, that when the people tore away the old cabinet, uncovered it, hundreds of cockroaches just ran out. Like in the movies, that kind, you know, you see all the creepy, crawly, just because they get panic, right? So they just run out. It was covered. When they first went there, everything was calm, everything was nice. Until they take the hammer or whatever, then the moon, they pull it open, the light shine, the whole floor came up. So these people who did the thing, they said, in all our years of demolition, we have never seen something like this. So they got a lot of stories to tell. And it will be characterized by FEBC. Girls' dorm. Uncovered. And so many of the girls there, they have been living in that room. Whoa, with all those hundreds and cockroaches, but all covered. So it's okay, it's all covered. Not revealed yet. Once the cover was lifted, they all came out. When God uncovered your life and my life, what will come out? Righteousness or unrighteousness? And the righteousness is defined by God's word, a person who will live his life according to God's truth. If God's word says, even you sin, and you know you have sinned, repent with all your heart. Will you delight to live a life of holiness before God? What will God find? Because God says, my wrath will be revealed, uncovered to those who are in unrighteousness. They will not escape. Conversely, the righteousness of God is also uncovered in the lives of my children who are truly born again in Christ, because they have accepted into their soul, into their heart, a gospel that carries with it the power that is able to transform and change a sinner into a saint, that will now make him into a holy person who is evidenced by his love for God's word and God's truth. Because now he knows that he does not have to walk in this world in darkness, but the word of God is now the lamp unto his feet and the light unto his path to guide him, so that this life that he lived for the witness of Christ will be lived according to the scriptures, so that by his good works, all his friends and family members and loved ones will see Christ in him, and they too will now believe in Christ and thus glorify God who is in heaven. The just will always live by faith. Is this your experience, dear friend? I pray it is. If not, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ right now with all your heart and come back to him. And ask him, Lord, help me, save me, for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to us, O Lord, out of thy holy word, that every one of us may truly know in our heart of hearts that we are truly justified in Christ, because Christ had died on the cross for my sin, for our sin, and rose again from the dead for my justification. And with all my heart, unconditionally, I have accepted him as my Lord and as my Savior. And now with the Holy Spirit indwelling inside me, it is the power of God that is able to help me live a life according according to Holy Scriptures. This is our heart's cry and our life's experience. And we pray, Father, that this is true of everyone who is gathered here tonight. May all who are just in thy sight continue to live by faith all the days of our lives until we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 379.